This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Doctors Without Borders, known internationally as Médecins Sans Frontières, or MSF, delivers emergency medical aid to people affected by conflict, natural disasters, and poverty all over the world. It is an NGO funded almost entirely by individual donations. Why, then, did MSF refuse to accept 1 million doses of a pneumonia vaccine from Pfizer? In a public post, the organization's U.S. director wrote, "Free is not always better," bringing the long, simmering impasse between MSF and a few pharmaceutical giants to a boil. Kate Elder is the vaccines policy advisor for MSF and had a hand in that discussion. Kate, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia.
So why did an organization focused on saving lives refuse 1 million pneumonia vaccines?
It's a good question, and it might not seem immediately obvious, but I think a little bit of important information is a bit of the context, the background, and just to know that MSF, Doctors Without Borders, has been trying to get access to this vaccine, the pneumococcal conjugate vaccine, the pneumonia vaccine, for a good 7 years now, because it's a critical tool for our operations, our doctors and medics in the field. Pneumonia is the leading cause of death for children worldwide. It kills almost 1 million children every year, and the vaccine, there are two vaccines that protect against pneumonia, one made by Pfizer and one made by GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, are really, they're very effective vaccines, so they're critical tools for the children we serve, as well as for children that MSF doesn't reach as well, children living in developing countries or children being served by other humanitarian organizations, partner organizations. So this is a long time discussion and debate and negotiation with the companies where we have been unsuccessful at accessing an affordable price. But recently, there have been some major milestones in this work with the companies. GlaxoSmithKline, Pfizer's competitor, recently decided to reduce their price after much of our public campaigning to the lowest global price. So that's a price that MSF can access, as well as other humanitarian organizations.
And what is that price at this point?
That price is about $3.05 a dose, just over $3. And kids require 3 doses to be fully protected.
Compared to on the open market, how much would it be?
Oh, it's a great question. Well, here in the United States, for Pfizer's product, our government pays about $136 a dose, and kids here in the States get 4 doses. So my math isn't that strong, but 136 times 4 is pretty hefty. So it's a significant price reduction. Of course, this is a price that GSK and Pfizer has offered a similar price of around $3 a dose to the world's poorest countries for a number of years. What we've been fighting to get access to is that lowest global price. And GSK has finally opened up access to that price for us and for other humanitarian organizations, but Pfizer has refused continuing to only offer donations.
So Jason Cohn, who is the executive director in the U.S. of MSF, or Doctors Without Borders here, points out that there is a cost to donated vaccines. What is the cost?
It's, you know, free is not always better, and this is the point we're trying to make, and there is nuance to this. Free is a business strategy, often of major pharmaceutical corporations. It's a way for them to take tax deductions. It's a way for them to boost their corporate social responsibility image, but there are many strings attached with free. For example, there's often limitations imposed by the donor. So not being a purchaser, a regular purchaser, you can't just buy the product and use it where you wish. There's often many qualifications to those donations. Like, for example, you can use them in this country, but you can't use them in that country. You can use them for this age group, but you can't use them for this age group. So that's sort of, you know, the first round of difficulties of accepting donations is the high strings attached, along with the long protracted negotiation period. I mean, this is not, these are not donations that all of a sudden overnight they're available. They are highly legal documents that require many months of negotiation back and forth with legal teams. While you work out, you know, what the donor is trying to impose and what's acceptable to the recipient. So those are just some of the immediate issues with donations. Then there are much broader implications, more systematic implications of donations. For example, you know, if we accepted a donation, doesn't mean that the rest of the humanitarian community has access to the vaccine. And it's not only MSF, Doctors Without Borders, that's vaccinating children. It's many of our partner humanitarian organizations. So it might solve our problem immediately, but it's not solving the problem that many other organizations face, as well as governments themselves. So it's not that price has been an issue just for the humanitarian community. Price of the pneumonia vaccine is also an issue for developing country governments that want access to this critical vaccine to save their children. You know, here in the States, it's very easy for us to get our children vaccinated. We don't ask many questions. We don't even often know what the price is. We just assume it's going to be there. But for many developing countries, this pneumonia vaccine is not readily or generally available to children. And governments have been complaining for a long time that one of the major obstacles to making the vaccine available to their kids is price. And often the pharmaceutical companies even use donations as their excuse for why others need to, you know, so-called pay up. Mm-hmm. So we donated to MSF, so to speak, but that means you, Government X, you need to pay your fair share. And it's often used as a justification for keeping high prices of governments.
So I can see, you know, you are making the case for not just yourself, other humanitarian organizations, developing countries. I mean, it's a very principled stand. It's a very long game to play. So how about, you know, the oath, doctors do no harm? How do you weigh that kind of refusal of vaccines with the potential loss of lives?
It's a great question because it's a internal discussion that we take very seriously, and it was a very considered and very debated and angst-ridden decision for Doctors Without Borders to take. So we don't take this lightly, but being that we are in a new place with GlaxoSmithKline having recently offered their product, their pneumonia vaccine, for the lowest global price, so now we have one access route. We feel in a much better place to continue to protect children and to make sure that we're minimizing any consequence of rejecting this donation. We are willing to pay a price for this vaccine. I mean, we are waiting for the company to even just quote us a price. So not only have they refused to lower the price for us, they've just refused to even quote Doctors Without Borders a price at all. But when they do, you know, we will mobilize our resources and you know, in an effort to minimize any risk for our patients, we are willing to pay. But in the meantime, we have access to the competitor product, GlaxoSmithKline's product, and we are doing everything we can to minimize any consequences, you know, on our patients.
Well, Pfizer's response is that they strongly disagree with MSF's decision and that, quote, to suggest that donations are not valuable defies logic. Have the op-eds, have the refusal, all the times this is getting passed around, actually made a difference?
We think so, because GSK has finally responded to the pressure that the public has been putting on them to lower their price. And this is coming after, you know, more than a year of Doctors Without Borders and partners campaigning on this issue and pushing the companies to do the right thing. So we think the public pressure actually is having an impact. You know, of course, it's very difficult to anticipate how the public will see, you know, MSF's decision to reject a substantial donation offer from Pfizer. I mean, this is a topic that has a lot of nuance. It's not immediately obvious. So there was concern of how the public would understand this. But we are really pleased to see the press and media response to this. There has been a ton of coverage of the article that our executive director, Jason Cohen, put out on why we rejected this donation. 80-90% of the public seems to understand the nuance and understand the strategy that pharmaceutical corporations use in giving donation offers. So we're quite pleased with the public response. And Pfizer has now actually said, this is the first time that they've said that they are looking at other options besides just a donation offer. So I think that that is an indication, we hope that's an indication, that they are taking this rather seriously and hearing the response not only of the public but the humanitarian community and organizations such as the World Health Organization and UNICEF that have very clear policies against corporate in-kind medical donations. We think that it's moving them to consider other options, so we're waiting eagerly to hear what those other options may be.
Kate Elder, Vaccines Policy Advisor for Medecins Sans Frontières, and she spoke with us about the organization's decision to refuse 1 million vaccine doses from Pfizer. Kate, thank you for speaking with us.
Thanks so much, Virginia.
And you can find a link to read Jason Cohen's op-ed at wordofmouthradio.org.